Chapter 6, The Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. As we approach the waterfalls of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial, it is good to keep in mind the heritage that this great president left us. Many consider Franklin Roosevelt to be the father of modern liberalism, so it may surprise you to know that he was a man of deep religious conviction who unapologetically linked the preservation of our nation during World War II with the preservation of our religion. The FDR Memorial was completed only very recently, in 1997, although planning for the monument dates back to 1955, just 10 years after FDR's death. The site for the monument along the tidal basin was chosen in 1959. When plans for the memorial came to a standstill in the 1960s, a simple memorial was erected, according to FDR's own modest specifications. He requested a memorial no larger than a desk with a simple inscription, "In memory of," to be placed in front of the National Archives. In fact, this small memorial still exists today in the northwest corner by the National Archives on Pennsylvania Avenue. After numerous design competitions, architect John Halperin's proposal for the monument was finally selected in 1978. Halperin's design is distinctly different from the other prominent memorials on the National Mall, as it depicts not just Roosevelt the president, but guides visitors through the Great Depression and World War II era. It stands in stark contrast to the compact Lincoln, Jefferson, and Washington memorials, offering visitors a tour through each of FDR's four terms, on a meandering path of marble and granite. Included with the memorial are numerous waterfalls and trees that form much of the monument's boundary alongside the tidal basin. Halperin constructed four open-air rooms with a collection of quotes, statues, and reliefs. Each room depicts one of FDR's four terms. Halperin's design allows visitors to catch a glimpse of the adversity the nation faced during FDR's presidency, which encompassed some of the most trying times in American history. FDR's first term, from 1932 through 1936, occurred during the throes of the Great Depression, a time of widespread economic and social upheaval. With up to 30% of America's unemployed at the time, FDR inherited an economy in chaos and a demoralized nation. In his first term, FDR sought to follow through on his promise of a New Deal for the American people. The New Deal, as it came to be known, was comprised of a series of social and employment programs which, although failing to end the Depression, provided at the very least a necessary morale boost to thousands of previously unemployed workers. FDR urged Americans to choose the path of faith, love, and hope toward our fellow man. FDR's next term saw the world come to the precipice of global conflict as Japan continued to expand its invasion of China and Germany seized the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. Here in the room for the second term, a sculpture depicts a man listening intently to a radio. Throughout this troubled time, FDR spoke with the nation in a series of fireside chats over the radio. These fireside chats provided FDR a medium to communicate with a distressed population, allowing him to form a personal connection with millions of Americans. FDR's addresses were well suited to his affable personality and soothing persona. World War II in Europe began in earnest in 1939 with Hitler's invasion of Poland, and the United States increased its assistance to Western democracies, providing everything short of armed soldiers. The tumultuous years of FDR's third term, 1940 through 1944, are marked in the memorial by a series of large granite stones obstructing the visitor's path. A loud waterfall symbolizes the violence of the war years. After the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, America plunged into the Second World War, leading the Allies to victory over the Axis powers in 1945. Although he was re-elected in 1944, FDR died after serving only a few weeks of his fourth term. Among the most controversial aspects of the memorial is the depiction of FDR in a wheelchair. The president, who suffered from the crippling effects of polio, made scant mention of his debilitating illness and refused to be seen publicly in his wheelchair. Supporters of this imagery have argued that depicting FDR in a wheelchair is a testament to the progress we have made as a nation in better understanding and embracing those with physical limitations, as FDR feared that appearing in a wheelchair in public would have conveyed weakness. The recently constructed FDR Memorial is noticeably devoid of references to our Creator, despite Roosevelt's obvious conviction of the importance of the nation's belief in God during the war. However, faith is mentioned in two areas. To the right of the first waterfall, you can see this inscription, which reads, "In these days of difficulty, we Americans everywhere must and shall choose the path of social justice, the path of faith, the path of hope, and the path of love toward our fellow man." As you leave the memorial, the last quotation on the wall reads, "Freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear." These words are taken from Roosevelt's 1941 State of the Union address and show the value he placed on our nation's religious liberty. Many are more familiar with this FDR quote from the four Norman Rockwell paintings inspired by Roosevelt's speech. As Professor Gary S. Smith has observed, Franklin Roosevelt often, quote, "stressed the importance of spiritual renewal, faith, and social justice, and urged Americans to work to achieve a more robust spiritual life." It may surprise many to learn that after the Allies successfully took Normandy Beach, Roosevelt led the American people in prayer in a nationwide radio address. He prayed, quote, "Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilizations, and to set free a suffering humanity," end quote. Roosevelt also used the occasion to commit the American people to a rededication of their faith, saying, "Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts." Finally, FDR's radio address showed that Roosevelt knew how our faith bound us together as a country. It concluded, quote, "And O Lord, give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but a fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen." Roosevelt's faith was very much important to him well before the war. He was a member of the Episcopal Church, serving as senior warden of the St. James Church in New York throughout his presidency. Furthermore, as Professor Smith notes, in 1935 he sought, quote, "counsel and advice on the impact of domestic policy from the many clergymen whom he invited to the White House." Roosevelt's faith became most important when he needed to rally the American people to defend Western civilization against fascism. Even before Pearl Harbor, he recognized the threat that the Nazis and Japanese posed to our religious freedoms. On May 27, 1941, Roosevelt spoke to the nation in one of his many radio addresses to announce a state of unlimited national emergency. He accurately described the Nazi world as one that, quote, "does not recognize any God except Hitler, as ruthless as the communists in the denial of God, where moral standards are measured by treachery and bribery." He recognized that this posed an impending global conflict between human slavery and human freedom, between pagan brutality and the Christian ideal. "America," he explained, "shall side with human freedom, which is the Christian ideal, and will only accept a world consecrated to freedom of speech and expression, freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, freedom from want, and freedom from terror." Roosevelt affirmed that such success could only be obtained through a combined faith in freedom and God. He called on Americans to, quote, "reassert our abiding faith in the vitality of our constitutional republic as a perpetual home of freedom, of tolerance, and of devotion to the Word of God." Roosevelt then concluded by quoting the Founding Fathers, who faced similar odds, quote, "with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence," end quote. Roosevelt again addressed the nation by radio as war became ever more inevitable to express to Americans the threat Nazism posed to our democratic and religious freedoms. On October 27, 1941, he described a German document outlining Hitler's plan to, quote, "abolish all existing religions," in which, quote, "the property of all churches will be seized by the Reich and its puppets. The cross and all other symbols of religion are to be forbidden. In place of the cross of Christ will be put two symbols, the swastika and the naked sword." Roosevelt then concluded with a pledge to the Nazis that, quote, "We stand ready in the defense of our nation and the faith of our fathers to do what God has given us the power to see as our full duty." Franklin Roosevelt was a man of deep religious belief who understood, just as powerfully as Washington before him, that religion and morality were indispensable supports to the preservation of our liberties and our country.